Christmas decorations out in the poles on Main Street yet? Yeah, they've probably been there for a while, haven't they? I just haven't quite noticed them. But some years I see those trucks driving around, and that's a lot of work to put those things up and down. I was reminded as well, Candace and I had a trip to, well, we had some trips to, a couple trips to Winnipeg in September, and then we had a trip to Winnipeg in mid-October. And usually every time we go to Winnipeg, we try and hit up Costco. I think Costco puts out the Christmas stuff like mid-September. You know, it's like months beforehand. They got Christmas decorations and like big bows everywhere, and it's just like, really? But you know what happens to me is I start getting a little bit excited about this time of year when I see the decorations go up and I see the stuff happening in the store. Because I, quite honestly, I just enjoy Christmas. I really enjoy everything about it. Probably especially my mom's Christmas baking. And my wife's Christmas baking as well, too. But my mom, she makes sure we're well taken care of in the baking department at Christmas time. And in fact, that was her pastor appreciation gift to our family, was just Christmas baking. And she says, during the month of December, I'm just going to start putting stuff in your kitchen. I'm like, praise the Lord. This is awesome. This is amazing. So we've had Christmas tarts already. And we've already had some nuts and bolts. And then we had, some of you guys know like that white almond loaf thing that she makes? That's amazing. That thing lasted like 10 minutes in our house. And so hopefully my pants still fit all right at the end of the month. But yeah, that's my mom. She just blesses us. So I really enjoy Christmas. I enjoy the decorations. And Candace has to rein me in sometimes. She's like, no, we don't really need more stuff in our house. Though I'm really sure we do, actually. And I said, this year, I'm going to like build a wreath at the end of our lane. So some of you guys have been driving to our house. We had like this tractor tire wreath. It's kind of cool, right? You know, I just learned that if it's going to happen at our house, I got to do it. I got to be the one to make it a little bit more Christmassy. But I enjoy that. But Christmas is not just any other holiday for us as believers, is it? This is a time where we get to celebrate the fact that God sent his son, Jesus, to come down on earth. He set aside his Godhead. He set aside his divinity. And he became just a humble man born among us, and we get to celebrate that fact. And so that's a great reason to celebrate at Christmas. That's a lot of reasons to get excited about this time of year. And so joy is a big part of the Christmas season for many of us. What's one of the most popular Christmas carols? It's Joy to the World, right? And I was reading the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, and one of the very first things that the angels said when the angels were visiting the shepherd to tell him about the coming of the Savior, and they said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people." And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, is just the joy of the Lord. We're going to talk about joy, and obviously this is a time of year where some people have a lot more joy, but others find it challenging as well. And even if we like Christmas, what I found that can sometimes happen is that joy can slip away a little bit, because Christmas is busy. There's a lot going on at this time of year, right, if we're being honest. So we have the Christmas decorating, and we have the Christmas baking. And then if you have kids in school, you have Christmas concerts, right? Or you might have Christmas office parties. Or you might have to plan, like, your Christmas get-togethers with your friends and family. And maybe you have Christmas travel plans. What other things go on at Christmas? There's lots that go on at Christmas, right? There's always things happening. And, it's even, with church teams, you're trying to schedule a meeting in the month of December. And it's like, how are we going to do this? There's something happening almost every night, and you got to try and work in that downtime. And then you're shopping for gifts. And if you're like our family, we tend to leave that a little bit closer to Christmas. So, this Canada Post shipping strike thing is not really working well for us. We need to get on it. Kylie and I were looking at the Christmas tree the other day. I'm like, it's a nice tree, isn't it? And Kylie's like, yeah, it's pretty nice, but that'd be nice if there's more underneath it. She's like, we need to start filling up underneath. It looks good up top, but I want to see it looking good in the bottom. So she's looking underneath, and she wants to see more gifts underneath there. But Christmas can sometimes, in the hustle and the bustle and the busyness, sometimes that joy that we have and that celebration that we're feeling in our hearts, sometimes that can slip away a little bit. We can't take that for granted. If we just assume that that's going to come and always be there, sometimes we can find out that, actually that joy is slipped quite a bit, and then we find ourselves having arguments about silly things and responding in stressful ways, and that's a sign that perhaps we've lost a little bit of that joy. And so the title that I put in my message this morning was, Where Did the Joy Go? Where did the joy go? The challenge is, how do we keep our joy through the Christmas season and make it through the other end on top? But this isn't a challenge. This isn't just a challenge for Christmas, this Christmas season or any Christmas season. This aspect of joy through busy times, or joy through tough times, or joy through hard times, this is actually something that as Christians, we you know, this is a reality for us all along, because life isn't always easy. So what happens when tough times come? Are we able to keep our joy? Are we able to hold on to our joy? Are we able to increase our joy in difficult times? It's fairly easy to have joy when things are going well, but when the vehicle breaks down, or we get an unexpected bill, or we're facing health challenges, or when there's things, trials and tribulations that happen in our lives, and we know that because we live in a fallen world, these things do happen, what happens to our joy in those moments? Is it possible to go through those times and not lose your joy? I believe it is. We're going to answer that question. I believe it's possible to go through those tough times. It's possible to make it through the Christmas season and not lose our joy. Here's one tip. If you're ever wondering, is this possible? Can I do this? When you're looking at God's Word, you know, there's certain things that God's Word tells us. For example, you know, we have instructions to love your neighbor as yourself, or forgive those who've wronged us. And so if you're ever thinking to yourself, well, I don't know if I can do that, if you find that situation, or if you find the command from the Lord, or one of the other authors who wrote books in the Bible says, do this, or be this way, then the answer to, can I do this in your life, it really is, yes, you can. You're fully capable of that. God's Word would not tell you to do something if you weren't capable of doing it with the help of the Holy Spirit. With God on your side, you can do these things that God's Word tells us to do. And so oftentimes, if we're talking to ourselves, if we're having these thought patterns, or if we're having a conversation with others, and we're saying, oh, I really don't know if I can do that. But if God's Word tells us that we can do it, or if God's Word says, do this, what we're really saying is, I'm not sure that I'm ready for that. Or sometimes what we're really saying, if we're really being honest, is, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to love my neighbor as myself. Maybe I'm not really ready to forgive right now, if we're really being honest. And so just keep that in mind when we're talking about this aspect of joy. What does the Bible have to say about keeping joy in tough times? Well, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul talks quite a lot about this. You know, I have some verses I'm going to read from, but he has quite a few verses where he talks about this aspect of joy. In 2 Corinthians 6:10, I don't have the verse on screen, but Paul says, we're sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. We're sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. So there was something in his life that he was grieving for in that moment, but yet he was saying there's sorrow and there's joy, and they're side by side. They're happening simultaneously at the same time. In Romans 12:15, Paul says, weep with those who weep. And then also in Romans, he says, he's talking about the pain and the hurt that he's feeling for his fellow Jewish countrymen who weren't willing to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. This is in Romans chapter 9, and he says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. And so he was grieving for his fellow countrymen who wanted to hold on to the law rather than receive Jesus as their Savior, recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. And so there's this aspect of you know, simultaneous joy, but then also struggle and sorrow in Paul's life. He also was someone who experienced much physical hardship. This isn't a kind of a remarkable set of verses. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at 23. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Once, I was stoned. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. Once, I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced dangers from rivers and robbers. I've faced dangers from my own people, from Jews as well as the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I've faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long and endured many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and often have gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep warm. That's quite a list, isn't it? It kind of actually makes the trials and tribulations of the Christmas season kind of pale in comparison a little bit, doesn't it? The busyness, a busy schedule, or having to buy gifts for hard-to-buy people or whatever. You know, some of those things that we get a little bit uptight about, just read these verses from 2 Corinthians and know you got it. We got it pretty good. Don't want it. It helps put things in perspective for us. You know, I believe of all the authors in the Bible, of people who have written books in the Bible and contributed to God's Word, Paul was probably the person who experienced the most hardship and most difficulty in his life. He, of any people, would have had a valid reason or excuse to lose his joy, wouldn't he? Of all people, look at that list. I mean, I wouldn't want to be shipwrecked. I have no desire to spend a day and a night adrift at sea, or get stoned, or 39 lashes, or the list goes on and on and on. Or even go without food. That, even that alone. I have no interest in that, right? So Paul had excuses to lose his joy. But what does Paul tell us about joy? This is the same Paul guy that wrote in Philippians 4:4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always." So all those things that happened, Paul still had this attitude about him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Or in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing." He probably was doing a lot of praying during that rejoicing. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Not everything that happens to us is the will of God. Let's be clear about that. But it's God's will for us to be rejoicing and giving thanks in everything that we're going through. That's the distinction, right? Not everything that happens to us is the will of God. But it is God's will for us to keep our joy on and to stay rejoicing no matter what we're going through, no matter how difficult it gets going, no matter how gift that person is to buy for. We're thinking, we just thought of the perfect gift, and then we realized that we gave it to them 3 years ago. Has that ever happened to you? No matter how difficult life gets, keep our joy on. It's possible to do it. And Paul is our example of that. Excuse me, I need to grab some Kleenex here. From these verses that Paul has shared with us, there's a few lessons that we learn about that. The first question we ask, is it possible to go through tough times and keep our joy on? The answer is a resounding yes. Clearly, we can have joy and we can rejoice in the Lord always, even in tough times. Here's the lesson. Our joy is not dependent on our circumstances, right? So the things that we're going through, that really should have no bearing on the joy that we have in our life. Why is that? It's because joy is a choice. Joy is not a reaction, but joy is a choice that we have the opportunity to make no matter what's going on in our lives. Paul wouldn't admonish us. He wouldn't be telling us, rejoice in the Lord, or rejoice always, or always rejoice. He wouldn't be saying that, again, if it wasn't possible. So obviously we have a choice to make when we're experiencing challenging circumstances that might seem like, how can I have joy in this moment? How is this possible? Let's look a little closer at what God's Word tells us about joy and shows us about joy. Because we need to learn and talk just for a few minutes. How is this possible? How can we have joy and how can we choose joy even when it seems difficult to do that? The first thing to understand is that faith isn't just a feeling and it's not an emotion. It's a force, and joy is the same way. When we think of faith, we don't think of faith as a feeling. We don't think of faith as a reaction. We think of faith as something intentional, that I have to have faith. I have to get strong in this moment. And I want you guys to understand that not only is faith a spiritual force, but joy is also a spiritual force. Of course, the fruit of the Spirit are listed in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They're right there, side by side. We have faith and we have joy and we have all the other fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, those are external evidences that we have God's Spirit inside of us, right? When people see the fruit of our Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, they know that we have a relationship with God and there's something on the inside that's coming out. There's something that God's put on the inside of us that we're walking with, and we're cultivating that relationship with the Lord, and it's an external evidence of an internal relationship. But it's right there, side by side. So we have faith as a force and joy as a force. Well, how do we know faith is a force, for example? Well, the first scriptures that come to mind when we think of faith as a force, of course, is Mark 11:23. And the Bible tells us that faith can move mountains in your life, right? If you're sick, if you have a struggle in your life, if there's a challenge in your life, whatever mountain you might have in your life. In fact, we have a t-shirt that we're selling on the post that says, "You need to speak to your mountain." Why do you need to speak to your mountain? Because faith is a spiritual force, and faith can move mountains. And joy is listed right along that list with faith. And so I believe that joy is a spiritual force as well. That's why we read in Nehemiah, and this is Nehemiah 18, what does it say? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why is the joy of the Lord your strength? Because it can do something. Joy has strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It is a spiritual force. Joy enables us to keep going in tough times, even when other people might quit. Of course, when you're facing a difficult time, when you're extending your faith, Satan's going to try and convince you, that's not working. This faith thing that you're trying, you're not getting results, you might as well give up and try something else. And if you get, you know, if you allow yourself to listen to those thoughts that are swirling around in the atmosphere by your head, you can feel yourself getting discouraged, and you start to lose your joy. That's what can happen. You know, I'll be honest, there's been times where I've listened to too many of those thoughts instead of casting those thoughts aside and discarding them. And, you know, if we start listening to those thoughts, the first thing that happens is we start losing our joy, and then if we let our joy slip, we let the joy go away, then our faith starts to slip a little bit as well, too. Why is that? Well, joy undergirds our faith. Joy is a spiritual force that supports our faith. If we keep our joy on, we keep our faith on, but the two really work together. And so that's why it's so important to keep our joy on, because all of us have things in our lives that we need to extend our faith for, that we're believing for, that we're confessing God's word over. And it's so important to keep that joy, because that joy supports your faith. So, joy is important. If we've lost our joy, how do we get it back? Just a few tips and just a little bit of revelation on this line. Faith and joy, just like the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, are developed the same way. Faith and joy are developed and built and increased in our lives the same way. In fact, all spiritual forces are developed and increased in our lives the same way. Romans 10:17 is a verse that's very familiar to us. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does faith come? It comes by hearing God's word and hearing it again. But if faith is developed by hearing the word of God, then joy is also developed by hearing the word of God in our lives. Joy is also developed by hearing God speak to us. I can prove it this right from John chapter 15. Jesus is teaching in John chapter 15. He's basically the first 10 verses of that chapter. He's telling his disciples this and this and this. And so he's giving them some really important spiritual truths. And then he says this in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you. So all this truth, the first 10 verses of John 15, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. These things I've taught you these truths so that you're going to have a fullness of joy and that my joy would remain in you. So Jesus says, what is he saying? He's saying that joy comes by hearing what I've spoken. Joy comes by hearing the word of God. You know, in this case, it wasn't a written word of God like we have right now. These people were actually hearing the words, you know, audible words of Jesus come out of his mouth. And Jesus is saying, if you hear what I'm saying, if you hear the words that I've spoken, my joy will remain to you. If you truly hear, if you get revelation, if you understand it, if you let it go in your spirit, my joy will remain with you. He's also saying, that joy will remain if you remain hearing me, if you remain listening to me, if you remain listening to God. Now we have the Holy Spirit. We can't actually, you know, have Jesus right beside us, teaching us and hearing him with our audible ears, but we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and of course that is our spiritual ear, right? The Holy Spirit inside of us is our spiritual ear, and so we can listen to the words of Jesus by reading his word, and the Holy Spirit quickens them in our spirit, and we can get revelation on what we're reading. And if we remain in that, if we study that, if we pursue it, if we meditate on it, then our joy will remain as we do that. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And Solomon's saying, there are spiritual forces inside you. That fruit of the Spirit, those seeds of the fruit of the Spirit, those are inside your life. There are spiritual deposits of spiritual forces that are inside your heart. But we need to guard your heart, because out of your heart springs all the issues of life. He's saying, if you're going to win or not at life, if you're going to make it through the Christmas season or another time where you're busy or challenged or you're up against something that seems insurmountable or an impossible obstacle, you need to guard your heart. You need to protect your heart, because out of it springs all the important spiritual forces. And faith is one of those forces, but again, joy is one of those forces. So it's so important. Protect your heart. The joy of the Lord is inside you. The Holy Spirit has given you the joy of the Lord, but you have to protect your heart so that joy can come out and support your faith, and it'll give you results in your life if you're able to do that. When Jesus said, let my joy remain in you, one of the things that struck me is if Jesus is saying, let my joy remain in you, that means that joy can come, but joy can also go, right? It's not a guarantee. It's not a sure thing that joy will stay there. And if there's anything that we have in life that Jesus tells, I want you to remain in that. I want you to stay strong in this area. We know that the enemy is going to give us an opportunity to let that thing go. There's always going to be an opportunity to draw back or pull back in that area or let that thing slip. So when Jesus is telling us, let my joy remain in you, there's going to be some work involved in that. We need to make a draw on God's grace to be able to fulfill that command and keep God's joy in our hearts, because there's going to be opportunities where the enemy's going to come and he tries to steal the word. And if he steals the word, what's he able to do? He's able to steal your joy. Remain in the word, remain in joy. Let the enemy steal the word, we lose our joy, and our faith is weakened in that moment. You know, as I was thinking about this aspect of remaining, a smile came to my face, because we have two dogs, and I often talk to you about Ruger at our house, but there's another dog we have, it's Lucy. And Lucy is a pretty good dog. She's just, you know, she's a smart dog. You don't have to usually tell her to do. She just kind of naturally, she's pretty intuitive to stay out of the way, for example. If there's construction going on, you know, like she'll go off to the side of the road and lay down. Ruger will be right, you know, there in front of like, you know, a 30-ton backhoe, just whoop, 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 you know, practically getting run over, and you got to like boot him like, Ruger, like you are like inches from death. You know, he's not the brightest, but Lucy's pretty bright. And so she's got lots of good attributes. But one of the things that Lucy is not so good at is remaining or staying. She does not like to stay. And so I can remember, this is actually the first year. She was a year old, and we'd had her for most of the summer. And it was one of the first years I was doing some deer hunting out in our property. And I wanted to tell this dog to stay. And so I told her to stay. And she knew what that meant. As soon as I had disappeared from sight just a little bit, or as soon as I wasn't saying those words, Lucy, stay, she would immediately get up and, you know, kind of like sneak behind me. And then, you know, and if I would turn and look at her, then she'd be like, sit down again. Like, I'm staying. I'm like, Lucy, stay. You know, and she would not stay. She had to be with me. She had to come for me. And I, quite honest, it probably wasn't a good thing I had a gun in my hand, because I was like, so angry, this dog. I mean, she's obviously still here, so I had self-control. But I'm like, stay. Like, I, you know, and so finally, of course, I had to go and lock her in her kennel, and then she didn't have a choice. She had to stay. But there's actually a little bit of a lesson in this, that as long as she was hearing my words, she would stay. She was able to stay. It's when I stopped talking to her, then she wasn't able to stay, or she wasn't able to remain. And so it's just a little bit of a picture for us. As long as we're hearing the words of Jesus, as long as we're spending time in God's presence, then that gives us the ability to remain in joy, you know. And so it's important for us to keep tuned in to the Holy Spirit. It's important to us to be spending time on the Word. This is the key to staying in joy. This is the key to remaining in joy. This is the key to getting our joy back if we lost it. We have to learn to remain. Remain where? Remain in the presence of God. Remain in the presence of Jesus. Have the Holy Spirit speak to us through time in prayer, singing, listening to worship music, listening to anointed teaching, time in the Word, time with one of the books from the post, whatever it is that you need to do in your life to get into the presence of Jesus and remain in joy. But it's in His presence that you're going to find that joy and find that peace. So if you want your joy to remain, you have to stay listening to the words of Jesus. If you're not listening to the words of Jesus, you're probably listening to the words of something else or something else. And typically, if we're not listening to the words of Jesus, we are listening to the voice of the circumstances around us. We're listening to the voice of that mountain, right? And if we're going to have victory in life, we can't be letting the mountain speak to us. We need to be speaking to the mountain. Amen? And so it's important to have that joy that undergirds our faith, remain in relationship with Jesus, remain in fellowship with Jesus, and we will have the strength to speak to that mountain, command it to go, and our faith will stay strong in the waiting, as we learned about this morning, until we see results in that area of our life. So if you have no strength, if your faith is weak, you're not going to have the strength to speak to that mountain, right? But if you remained in Jesus, and your faith is strong, your joy is there, and you have the ability to look that mountain in the eye and tell it where to go. Amen? One more verse for you guys. Let's stand. I'm going to read this, and then we'll close. King David was someone who knew this principle about spending time in God's presence and how it affected our joy. This is Psalm 16. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. If you've ever read that verse and said, in your presence is fullness of joy, that sounds so good. I want to be there. How do I experience it? Man, you just need to get with the Lord. You just need to spend time in His presence. Let Him speak to you. Let those words that He's spoken through His written word and the words that He's always speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, let those words remain in you. And His joy will remain in you. You will experience that fullness of joy that King David is talking about. So what have we learned today? What have we taught? I know it's been quick. And you know, I've kind of moved through this pretty quickly. We've learned that joy is a spiritual force and that we need it in our lives because it partners with faith. It helps support our faith. We know that we have the choice to choose joy in our life. And it is possible to have difficult times and difficult circumstances but still be walking in joy. Because how do we do that? Well, if we're letting the words of Jesus remain in us and if we're remaining in His presence, we have the ability to always choose joy no matter what we're going through. And it's going to bring us through the other side in success. We're going to win in that situation. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that, Lord, this aspect of joy, we thank You that of all the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, You've chosen joy and faith to work together in such a powerful way, Lord. And so we respond to You today, Lord. We respond to Your word. Lord, we declare, Lord, that we will choose joy in difficult times. Lord, when we're facing a challenge, when we're facing something that seems like, man, I could just grumble about this. I could complain about this. I could say all kinds of things, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You give us the ability not to listen to that situation and not have to let that situation speak to us, Lord. But You give us the power and the ability through Christ to let joy remain when we're spending time in Your presence. Lord, we thank You that in Your presence is fullness of joy, Lord. And so I declare over Solid Rock Church today, Lord, that we are a church that chooses joy. In the good times, in the times when we're faced with the challenge, Lord, no matter what we're facing, Lord, we are obedient to Your word, Lord, that says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. We respond to Your word that when it says, rejoice always, Lord, we can do that. We know that we can do that because Your word tells us to do that, Lord. And so we are a people that are marked by Your joy, Lord. We are a people that are marked by the joy that we have. Lord, even when there's other emotions, even when there's other things happening, we recognize that we can experience situations in life that are not optimal, but we can have joy at the same time. And not just a little bit of joy, but overflowing with joy, Lord. And so I declare that over Solid Rock Church, that we are a church that is free and full and overflowing. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I just want to invite, if there's anyone else that would like to come forward and just feel like they've had times in their lives, maybe even recently, where they've let that joy slip, and you just want someone to pray over you, I just invite you to come up right now. I'm gonna pray and close this service. But if you've been feeling like you've let your joy slip just a little bit, and you want someone to stand with you and help encourage you and give you the strength to remain in God's presence, to remain in His Word, and get back that joy that you know that you should have, that joy that you know that you want to have, I just want to invite you up as I pray and close this service. Come up and let us lay hands on you. Let us encourage you. Let us join our faith with yours, so that your joy might increase. Heavenly Father, we release this service right now, Lord. We thank You for Your word that we've heard this morning, Lord. We take it, we receive it, and we choose today to act on it. Maybe we be blessed this week as we go, Lord. We thank You for Your favor and Your anointing, Lord. We choose to rely on Your wisdom and Your grace this week, Lord, in every situation that's in front of us, in every situation, Lord, that we're facing, Lord. We rely on You, Lord. We thank You that You are the way maker, Lord. You are the person who goes before us and makes a way where there seems to be no way, Lord. And we choose joy today in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. So as we go, may we be blessed and may we experience just the fullness of God this week as we choose joy in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Be blessed.